So he went to them and took away their implements and told them that was against his conscience, that they should play another's work. If they made the keeping of it a matter of devotion, let them keep their houses, but there should be no gaming or reveling in the streets. Since which time nothing hath been attempted that way, at least openly, William Bradford, Governor, Plymouth Colony, of Plymouth Plantation, 1621. Opposed to the ordinance of the Lord's Day are all feast days ordained by men when they are considered holy days like the Lord's Day. William Ames, nonconformist minister, exiled to the Netherlands, professor of theology at Franeker. The Marrow of Theology, 1623. The pastor thinketh it no Judaism nor superstition, but a moral duty to observe the Sabbath. Beside the Sabbath, he can admit no ordinary holidays appointed by man, whether in respect of any mystery or of difference of one day from another, as being warranted by mere tradition, against the doctrine of Christ and his apostles, but accounteth the solemn fast and humiliations unto which the Lord calleth to be extraordinary Sabbaths, warranted by God himself. The prelate, by his doctrine, practice, example, and neglect of discipline, declareth that he hath no such reverend estimation of the Sabbath. He doteth so upon the observation of past Yule and festival days appointed by men, that he preferreth them to the Sabbath, and hath turned to nothing our solemn fasts and blessed humiliations. David Calderwood, minister and theologian, Church of Scotland, the pastor and the prelate, 1628. Concerning ceremonial festivals of man's making, our practice cannot be objected, because we observe none. We take occasion of hearing and praying upon any day when occasion is offered. We say with Hospinian, not the day, but the word of God, etc., puts us in mind of the nativity, resurrection, and ascension of Christ. For we do not fear lest all the churches of God will condemn us herein, those that consent with Geneva, nor those of Scotland, no, nor any that follow Bucer's judgment in Matthew 12. I would to God that every holy day whatsoever beside the Lord's Day were abolished. That zeal which brought them first in was without all warrant of the word, and merely followed corrupt reason. Forsooth, to drive out the holy days of the pagans, as one nail drives out another. Those holy days have been so tainted with superstition that I wonder we tremble not at their very name. See the place, Ecolampadius, in Isaiah 1:4. Thinketh that no wise Christian will condemn us. I never heard wise man yet who did not judge that a great part, at least, of other feasts, besides the Lord's Day, should be abolished. William Ames, nonconformist minister, exiled to the Netherlands, professor of theology at Franeker. A Fresh Suit Against Human Ceremonies in God's Worship, 1633. By communicating with idolaters in their rites and ceremonies, we ourselves become guilty of idolatry, even as Ahaz, 2 Kings 16:10, was an idolater, that he took the pattern of an altar from idolaters. Forasmuch then as kneeling before the consecrated bread, the sign of the cross, surplice, festival days, bishoping, bowing to the altar, administration of the sacraments in private places, etc., are the wares of Rome, the baggage of Babylon, the trinkets of the whore, the badges of popery, the ensigns of Christ, enemies, and the very trophies of Antichrist. We cannot conform, communicate, and symbolize with the idolatrous papists in the use of the same without making ourselves idolaters by participation. Shall the chaste spouse of Christ take upon her the ornaments of the whore? George Gillespie, Westminster Divine, A Dispute Against the English Popish Ceremonies, 1637. How can it be denied that many corruptions, contrary to the purity and liberty of the gospel, were they never so innocent in themselves, have accompanied these novations, such as the superstitious observing of days, variation and cessation from work on those days, feasting, guising, etc. Alexander Henderson, Westminster Divine, and David Dixon, Professor of Theology, Church of Scotland. The answers of some brethren of the ministry to the replies of the ministers and professors of divinity in Aberdeen concerning the late covenant, 1638. Festival days are an entrenching upon God's prerogative, for none can appoint an holy day but he who hath made the days and hath all power in his own hand, which is clear, first from the denomination of them in both testaments. In the old they are called the solemn feasts of Jehovah, Leviticus 23:1, Exodus 32:5. Not only because they were to be kept to Jehovah, but also because they were of his appointing. And so in the New Testament, as we read, but of one holy day for the self-same reasons. It is called the Lord's Day, Revelation 1:10. John Bernard, Nonconformist Minister, England, The Anatomy of the Service Book, 1641. This day is the day which is commonly called the Feast of Christ's Nativity, or Christmas Day, a day that hath been heretofore much abused to superstition and profaneness. It is not easy to reckon whether the superstition hath been greater or the profaneness. I have known some that have preferred Christmas Day before the Lord's Day, and have cried down the Lord's Day and cried up Christmas Day. I have known those that would be sure to receive the sacrament upon Christmas Day, though they did not receive it all the year after. This and much more was the superstition of the day. And the profaneness was as great. Old Father Latimer saith in one of his sermons that the devil had more service in the 12 Christmas holy days, as they were called, than God had all the year after. There are some that though they did not play at cards all the year long, yet they must play at Christmas, thereby, it seems, to keep in memory the birth of Christ. This and much more hath been the profanation of this feast. And truly, I think that the superstition and profanation of this day is so rooted into it as that there is no way to reform it but by dealing with it as Hezekiah did with the brazen serpent. This year God, by a providence, hath buried this feast in a fast, and I hope it will never rise again. You have set out, right honorable House of Lords, a strict order for the keeping of it, and you are here this day to observe your own order, and I hope you will do it strictly. The necessity of the times are great. Never more need of prayer and fasting. The Lord give us grace to be humbled in this day of humiliation for all our own and England's sins, and especially for the old superstition and profanation of this feast, always remembering upon such days as these, Isaiah 22:12-14. Edmund Calamy, Westminster Divine, and Indictment Against England Because of Her Self-Murdering Divisions, 1645. Festival days, vulgarly called holy days, have no warrant in the Word of God, are not to be continued. Westminster Assembly, Directory for Public Worship, 1645. the General Assembly taking to their consideration the manifold abuses, profanity, and superstitions committed on Yule Day, Christ Mass, and some other superstitious days following, have unanimously concluded and hereby ordained that whatsoever person or persons hereafter shall be found guilty in keeping of the aforesaid superstitious days shall be proceeded against by kirk censures, and shall make their public repentance therefore in the face of the congregation where the offense is committed, and that the presbyteries and provincial synods take particular notice how ministers try and censure delinquents of this kind within the several parishes. General Assembly, Church of Scotland, Act for Censuring Observers of Yule Day and Other Superstitious Days, 1645. Lascivious carousings, drunkenness, harlotry come from observing of holy days. Your, that is, the prelates, ceremonies that break the sixth commandment, shall find no room in the fifth commandment. Cause the fifth commandment to speak thus, if you can. Notwithstanding that crossing, kneeling, surplice, human holy days occasion the soul murder of him for whom Christ died, yet we, the prelates, command the practice of the aforesaid ceremonies as good and expedient for edification, for our commandment maketh the murdering of our brethren to be obedience to the fifth commandment. But if prelates may command that which would otherwise, without or before the commandment, spiritual murdering and scandalizing our brother, they may command also that which would be otherwise without or before their command, adultery against the seventh, and theft against the eighth, the perjury and lying against the ninth commandment, the concupiscence against the tenth. For the fifth commandment hath the precedency before the seventh, eighth, ninth, and tenth commandments, no less than before the sixth, which forbiddeth the killing of our brother's soul. What do our doctors, the prelates, clatter and fable to us of a right of justice, that mortal rulers have to command in things indifferent, from which the destruction of souls doth arise? For these commandments of rulers, kneel religiously before bread, the vicegerent image of Christ crucified, keep human holy days, cross the air with your thumb above a baptized infant's face, at best, are but positive commandments not warranted by God's word. But shall they be more obligatory by a supposed band of justice that prelates have over us to command? Such toys, then, this divine law of God and nature. Romans 14. For in different days meats surplice destroy not him for whom Christ died. We see not how the ceremonies are left free to conscience, because they are alterable by the church. For because the reason of kneeling to bread of human holy days of surplice is moral, not national, that is, they are ecclesiastical, and therefore moral, not civil, and therefore or national. Samuel Rutherford, Westminster Divine, The Divine Right of Church Government and Excommunication, 1646. Usurping prelacy under its shadow did in the secret and holy judgment of God change the glory of God and of our Lord Jesus into the similitude and image of the Roman beast, turning the power of godliness unto formality, his faithful ministers into corrupt hirelings, the power and life of preaching into flattery and vanity, the substance of religion into empty and ridiculous ceremonies, the beauty and purity of the ordinances into superstitious inventions of kneeling, crossing, holy days, and the like. James Stirling, Minister, Church of Scotland, Naphthali or the Wrestlings of the Church of Scotland for the Kingdom of Christ, 1667. 1. There can be no solemn setting apart of any day to any creature. Thus, saints' days are unlawful. For the Sabbath or day of rest is to the Lord, and to none other. It being a peculiar piece of worship to him who hath divided time betwixt his worship and our work. 2. No man can institute any day, even to the true God, as a part of worship, so as to bind the consciences to it, or to equal it with this day, the Lord's day. That is a part of God's royal prerogative, and a thing peculiar to him to sanctify and bless a day. 3. Even those days which are pretended to be set apart to and for God, and yet not as part of worship, cannot be imposed in a constant and ordinary way, as anniversary days and feasts are, because by an ordinary rule God hath given to man 6 days for work, except in extraordinary cases he shall please to call for some part of them again. James Durham, Minister, Church of Scotland, The Law Unsealed, 1675. December 25, Friday. Carts come to town and shops open as is usual. Some somehow observe the day, Christ Mass, but are vexed, I believe, that the body of the people profane it, and blessed be God, no authority yet to compel them to keep it. Samuel Sewell, Judge, Chief Magistrate of Boston, Journal Entry in the Heart of the Puritan, 1685. It is not a work, but a word makes one day more holy than another. There is no day of the week, but some eminent work of God has been done therein. But it does not therefore follow that every day must be kept as a Sabbath. The Lord Christ has appointed the first day of the week to be perpetually observed in remembrance of his resurrection and redemption. If more days than that had been needful, he would have appointed more. It is a deep reflection on the wisdom of Christ to say, he has not appointed days enough for his own honor, but he must be beholding to men for their additions. The old Waldenses witnessed against the observing of any holidays besides that which God in his word hath instituted. Calvin, Luther, Denaeus, Bucer, Farel, Viret, and other great reformers have wished that the observation of all holidays except the Lord's Day were abolished. A popish writer complains that the Puritans in England were of the same mind. So was John Huss and Jerome of Prague long ago. And the Belgic churches in their synod, anno 1578. The apostle condemns the observation of Jewish festivals in these days of the New Testament, Galatians 4:10, Colossians 2:16. Much less make Christians state other days in their room. The gospel has put an end to the difference of days as well as of meats. And neither the Pope nor the Church can make some days holy above others, no more than they can make the use of some meats to be lawful or unlawful, both of which are expressly contrary to the Scripture, Romans 14:5-6. All stated holidays of man's inventing are breaches of the second and of the fourth commandment. A stated religious festival is a part of instituted worship. Therefore, it is not in the power of men, but God only, to make a day holy. Increase Mather, Nonconformist Minister, New England, Testimony Against Profane Customs, 1687. Question. Is there any other day holy besides this day, that is the Lord's day? Answer. No day, but this is holy by institution of the Lord. Yet days of humiliation and thanksgiving may be lawfully set apart by men on a call of providence, but popish holidays are not warrantable, nor to be observed. Galatians 4:10. Ye observe days and months and times and years. John Flavel, Nonconformist Minister, Dartmouth, England, An Exposition of the Assembly's Shorter Catechism, 1692. Question 3. May not the popish holy days be observed? Answer. The popish holy days ought not to be observed because they are not appointed in the Word, and by the same reason no other holy days may be kept. Whatsoever pretense there be of devotion towards God, when there is no precept or example for such a practice in the Holy Scripture, Thomas Vincent, Nonconformist Minister, London, and Explicatory Catechism, or an Explanation of the Assembly's Catechism, 1708. Instead of endeavors to extirpate a superstition and heresy, as we are bound by the same articles of the Solemn League and by the National Covenant to detaste, sick, all superstition and heresy without or against the Word of God and doctrine of this Reformed Kirk, according to the Scripture, Galatians 4:10, ye observe days and months and times and years. Colossians 2:23, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Titus 3:10. A man that is a heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject. Yet in the darkness of the times of persecution, many dregs of popish superstition were observed, many omens and freaks too much looked to. Popish festival days, as Pasch, Yule, fastings, even, etc., have been kept by many. John McMillan of Balmaghy et al., the National Covenant and Solemn League and Covenant, with the acknowledgement of sins and engagement to duties, as they were renewed at Douglas, July 24, 1712, with accommodation to the present times, 1712. I do reckon the civil imposition of the Yule vacants not only unreasonable, but an occasional inlet into the religious observation of the holy days, since this is certainly the prima ratio legis, but very burdensome and expensive to lieges. I hear endeavors will be used to alter the law. Robert Woodrow, Minister and Scottish Church Historian, Letter to Mr. John Williamson, 1713. The restoring of the Yule vacants, abolished at the Revolution, as it carries in it a studied reflection upon the Reformation then attained unto, so it is most senseless and superstitious in itself, an occasion of much debauchery and a great prejudice to the lieges, by stopping the courts of justice. And it is most evident that this and sundry other things were hatched and promoted by ill-affected persons, or Jacobites, sent from among ourselves, for no other reason but merely out of wantonness, to kick at our Constitution, at the Revolution, and at the glorious reign of King William, our deliverer. Robert Wiley, Minister, Church of Scotland et al., Memorial of Grievances to be Presented to the King, 1714. 1. We think God has appointed one certain day in the week for the thankful remembrance of those mercies which He has in common bestowed upon us. Upon that, therefore, as often as it returns, all Christians are bound to employ themselves in meditating upon God's works of creation and redemption, in praising God, and in other religious exercises. Hence we judge it needless for men, by their authority, to appoint other days of the same nature, and desire them who usurp such a power to produce the commission they have for it. 2. It seems probable to us that God would not have us observe these yearly holidays, because we meet with nothing in His Word whereby we can fix the times of the year when those things happened which our adversaries pretend are the occasion of them. James Pierce, Nonconformist Minister, Exon, England, A Vindication of the Dissenters, 1718. Albeit there be an Act of Assembly, 1645, ordering all the observers of superstitious days, particularly Yule, etc., to be proceeded against by Kirk censure, the guilty to make public repentance for the same, before the congregation where the offense is committed, presbyteries and synods, to take particular notice how ministers censure delinquents of this kind within the several parishes, etc. Yet this seems to be gone into desuetude, seeing not only masters of schools and colleges are accessory to this superstitious profanity by granting liberty or vacancy to their scholars at such times, for which, by virtue of this act, they ought to be summoned before the assembly and censured according to their trespass. But even the elders of this church, the author means the Revolution Church, the Church of Scotland, in many places are guilty of observing Yule, and such as are ordinarily communicants with numbers of others in close communion with this church, and yet never one of these censured, but connived at. And what if I should say too many ministers homologate this sinful custom, whereby through ministers' unfaithfulness a young uprising generation are left in ignorance about the sinfulness of that and other superstitious days, etc., too much in fashion in our declining days? Andrew Clarkson, acting as clerk and compiler for the United Societies, that is, the Covenanters, Plain Reasons for Presbyterians Dissenting from the Revolution Church in Scotland, 1731. Dissenters reject the consecrating churches, chapels, cathedrals, priests, garments, altars, liturgies, singing service, litanies, bowings, crossings, cringings, holy days, fasts, feasts, vigils, because not one word of any of them is contained in our holy rule of faith. Thomas Dulon, English Nonconformist Baptist, A Plea for the Nonconformists, 1733. Instead of making progress in a work of reformation, we came in a short time to fall under the weight of some new and very heavy grievances, as, for instance, countenance is also given to a superstitious observation of holy days by the vacation of our most considerable civil courts in the latter end of December. Ebenezer Erskine, William Wilson, Alexander Moncrief, and James Fisher, founding ministers of the Secession Associate Presbyterian Church, a testimony to the doctrine, worship, government, and discipline of the Church of Scotland, 1734. Question. Hath God appointed any other set times to be kept holy to the Lord beside the Sabbath? Answer, none but the Jewish festivals or ceremonial Sabbaths, which being only shadows of things to come, they expired with Christ's coming. But the command for the weekly Sabbath being moral, it continues still in force. Colossians 2, 16 and 17. Galatians 4, 9 through 11. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. Question. We are bound to keep the holy days observed by others, such as days for Christ's birth, passion, and ascension, days dedicated to angels as Michael Mass, to the Virgin Mary as Candle Mass, besides many other dedicated to the apostles and other saints. Answer. Though it be pretended that these days serve to promote piety and devotion, yet we have no warrant from God to observe any of them. Nay, it appears to be unlawful to do it. For first, God doth quarrel men for using any device of their own for promoting His service or worship without having His command or warrant for it, as in Deuteronomy 12:32, Isaiah 1:12, Jeremiah 7:30. Secondly, the Apostle Paul doth expressly condemn the Galatians for observing such holy days, Galatians 4:10-11. Thirdly, it is a disparaging of the Lord's day which God hath appointed, and a usurping of His legislative power, for men to set days of their appointing on a level with His day, as the institutors do, by hindering people to labor thereupon. Fourthly, it is an idolatrous practice to consecrate days to the honor of saints and angels, for commemorating their acts and publishing their praise, such honor and worship being due to God alone. Question. Were not these days appointed by the ancient church and authorized by great and holy men? Answer. It was will worship in them, seeing they had no power to institute holy days, for, first, under the law, when ceremonies and festivals were in use, the church appointed none of them but God Himself. Secondly, we read nothing of the apostles appointing or observing such holy days, not a word of their consecrating a day for Christ. Birth, His passion, or ascension, nor a day to Stephen the proto-martyr, nor to James, whom Herod killed with the sword. We read of the apostles observing the Lord's day and keeping it holy, but not of any other. Thirdly, these other days are left unrecorded and uncertain, and so are concealed like the body of Moses, that men might not be tempted to abuse them to superstition. Fourthly, these days have not the divine blessing upon them, for they are the occasions of much looseness and immorality. Fifthly, though the observing of these days had been indifferent or lawful at first, yet the defiling of them with superstition and intemperance should make all forbear them. John Willison, Minister, Church of Scotland, an example of plain catechizing upon the Assembly's Shorter Catechism, 1737. Question. May the Church appoint holy days to remember Christ's birth, death, temptation, ascension, etc.? Answer. No. As God hath abolished the Jewish holy days of His own appointment, so He hath given no warrant to the Church to appoint any, but hath commanded us to labor 6 days, except when Providence calls us to humiliation or thanksgiving, and expressly forbids us to observe holy days of men's appointment. Colossians 2:16, Galatians 4:10-11. Question. What is the difference between a fast day and a holy day? Answer. The day of the fast is changeable and esteemed no better in itself than another day, but a holy day is fixed to a certain time of the week, year, or moon, and reckoned better in itself. John Brown of Haddington, Minister and Professor, Associate Presbyterian Burger Synod. An essay towards an easy, plain, practical, and extensive explication of the Assembly's Shorter Catechism, 1758. Not to insist further in enumerating particulars, the Presbytery finally testify, sic, against church and state for their negligence to suppress impiety, vice, and superstitious observance of holy days, etc. The civil powers herein, acting directly contrary to the nature and perverting the very ends of the magistrate's office, which is to be the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath on him that doeth evil. Transgressors of the first table of the law may now sin openly with impunity, and while the religious observation of the Sabbath is not regarded, the superstitious observations of holy days, even in Scotland, is so much authorized that on some of them the most considerable courts of justice are discharged to sit. The Reformed Presbytery, Covenanters, Act, Declaration, and Testimony for the whole of our covenanted Reformation as attained to and established in Britain and Ireland, particularly betwixt the years 1638 and 1649 inclusive, as also against all the steps of defection from said Reformation, whether in former or latter times, since the overthrow of that glorious work down to this present day, 1761. Question: is there any warrant for anniversary or stated holidays now under the New Testament? Answer: no. These under the old being abrogated by the death and resurrection of Christ, there is neither precept nor example in Scripture for any of the yearly holidays observed by Papists and others. On the contrary, all such days are condemned in bulk. Galatians 4:10, Colossians 2:16-17. Question: what crimes doth the observation of them import? Answer: the observation of them imports no less than an impeachment of the institutions of God concerning His worship, as if they were imperfect, and an encroachment upon the liberty wherewith Christ hath made His church and people free. Colossians 3:20. James Fisher, Minister, Associate Presbyterian Burger Synod, Westminster Assembly's Shorter Catechism Explained, 1765. The public worship of God is grievously corrupted in England and Ireland by a multitude of superstitious inventions, a great many devised holidays, saints' days, fasts, and festivals are likewise observed, with peculiar offices for the same. Adam Gibb, Minister, Associate Presbyterian, Anti-Burger, The Present Truth, A Display of the Secession Testimony, Volume 2, 1774. Men cannot without sin appoint any holy days. 1. God has marked the weekly Sabbath with peculiar honor in His command and word. But if men appoint holy days, they detract from its honor. And wherever holy days of men's appointment are much observed, God's weekly Sabbath is much profaned. Exodus 20:8. Ezekiel 43:8. 2. God never could have abolished His own ceremonial holy days in order that men might appoint others of their own invention in their room. Colossians 2:16-23, Galatians 4:10-11. 3. God alone can bless holy days and render them effectual to promote holy purposes, and we have no hint in His word that He will bless any appointed by men. Exodus 20:11. 4. By permitting, if not requiring us, to labor 6 days of the week in our worldly employments, this commandment excludes all holy days of men's appointment. Exodus 20:8-9. If it permit 6 days for our worldly labor, we ought to stand fast in that liberty with which Christ hath made us free. Galatians 5:1, 1 Corinthians 7:23, Matthew 15:9. If it require them, we ought to obey God rather than men. Acts 4:19, Acts 5:29. Days of occasional fasting and thanksgiving are generally marked out by the providence of God, and the observation of them does not suppose any holiness in the day itself. Joel 1:14, Joel 2:15, Acts 13:2, Acts 14:23, Matthew 9:15. John Brown of Haddington, minister and professor, associate Presbyterian Berger Synod, A Compendious View of Natural and Revealed Religion, 1796. We therefore condemn the following errors and testify against all who maintain them. 1. That any part of time is appointed in divine revelation, or may be appointed by the church, to be kept holy in its weekly, monthly, or annual returns, except the first day of the week, which is the Christian Sabbath. Reformed Presbyterian Church in America, Covenanters, Reformation Principles Exhibited, 1806. That the Lord's Day is the only day appointed by God to be kept holy, though He allows us to set days apart on proper occasions for fasting and thanksgiving, those days which by men now under the New Testament are called festival or holy days have no warrant from the Word and are superstitious. Exodus 20:8, Matthew 9:14 and 15, Matthew 28:20, Colossians 2:20-23, Matthew 15:7-9. Reformed Dissenting Presbytery, an act, declaration, and testimony of the Reformed Dissenting Presbyterian Church in North America, 1808. It is our duty to attend faithfully and industriously to that secular business which is incumbent on us during the 6 last days of the week, and not to institute or observe Sabbaths of human invention, that we may be prepared for the sanctification of the Lord's Sabbath. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. Galatians 4:10-11. Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed labor upon you in vain. Ezra Stiles Ely, Pastor Presbyterian Church in the USA, A Synopsis of Didactic Theology, 1822. The Waldenses contemn all approved ecclesiastical customs which they do not read of in the Gospel, such as the observance of Candlemas, Palm Sunday, Good Friday, and the Feast of Easter. William Syme, History of the Waldenses, 1827. Under the old dispensation, there were a number of days appointed for ceremonial observances. The Jews kept 35 in the year, but of these, some fell on the Sabbath. While the Mosaic economy lasted, and while they remained in Palestine, these were to be observed. But at the death of Christ, they passed away. Hence the Apostle says to the primitive Christians, "Let no man judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath day." Colossians 2:16, or the Jewish Sabbath, on the 7th day of the week which was now merged in the first. This shows how little they understand the liberty of the gospel, who prescribe for the observance of Christians a variety of holy days, which are unauthorized in Scripture and are found in experience to be lost in idleness or abused in folly. Such days originating in secular policy or superstitious excitement may be marked by names and rites solemn and imposing, yet wanting the sanction of Jehovah and the animating breath of heaven. They are soon disregarded as empty forms, hated as encumbrances on public industry, and welcomed only by those whose situation make them wish for a season and a pretext for amusement and dissipation. Henry Belfridge, Minister, Associate Presbyterian Berger Synod, A Practical Exposition of the Assembly's Shorter Catechism, 1834. This Reformation audio track is a production of Stillwater's Revival Books.
SWRB makes thousands of classic Reformation resources available, free and for sale, in audio, video, and printed formats. Our many free resources, as well as our complete mail order catalog, containing thousands of classic and contemporary Puritan and Reform books, tapes, and videos at great discounts, is on the web at www.swrb.com. We can also be reached by email at swrb@swrb.com, by phone at 780-450-3730, by fax at 780-468-1096, or by mail at 4710-37A Avenue, Edmonton, that's E-D-M-O-N-T-O-N, Alberta, abbreviated capital A, capital B, Canada, T6L3T5. You may also request a free printed catalog. And remember that John Calvin, in defending the Reformation's regulative principle of worship, or what is sometimes called the scriptural law of worship, commenting on the words of God, "which I commanded them not, neither came into my heart," from his commentary on Jeremiah 7:31, writes, "God here cuts off from men every occasion for making evasions, since he condemns by this one phrase, 'I have not commanded them,' whatever the Jews devised. There is then no other argument needed to condemn superstitions than that they are not commanded by God. For when men allow themselves to worship God according to their own fancies, and attend not to his commands, they pervert true religion. And if this principle is adopted by the papists, all those fictitious modes of worship in which they absurdly exercise themselves would fall to the ground. It is indeed a horrible thing for the papists to seek to discharge their duties towards God by performing their own superstitions. There is an immense number of them, as it is well known, and as it manifestly appears. Were they to admit this principle, that we cannot rightly worship God except by obeying his word, they would be delivered from their deep abyss of error. The prophet's words, then, are very important, when he says that God had commanded no such thing, and that it never came to his mind, as though he had said that men assume too much wisdom when they devise what he never required, nay, what he never knew."